Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Matthew chapter 25. A lot of times it's not Matthew 25. So a lot of people are scared of this chapter because it does deal with some end time and end of time kind of things. But there's, you know, we don't have to focus on the negative side of parables and scriptures, because everywhere there's a minus sign, there's a plus sign. And you know, God always has the blessing in store for his people. So in Matthew 25 and verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." And then I just want, for a reference, James chapter 4 and verse 14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away." And so I want to talk to us this morning, a few moments on this thought, talent search. Not the kind of talent search you're thinking about, though. Talent search. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we love you so much today. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives. God, today let us hear what the Spirit is saying. Let it touch us, change us, challenge us, help us to be better, God. Be better for you, for the kingdom, for this world, for all that we do. And we ask it today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord this morning. What a wonderful word he has. We're thankful for it. You can be seated today. So talent search. I thought, let me be clever today. Since we're talking about talents, but he's not talking about a talent search like he wants to see what you can do. He's talking about the things that he delivers unto us, the talent. But when the master came back, he was looking to see what the talents had done, what had been done with the talents. He was going to search his servants to see what he would find. You know, in Luke chapter 18, in verse 8, the Lord made the statement, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" What's he going to find in us? Faith without works is dead. And if this parable teaches me anything, it's not just about having faith and knowing who I serve. It's what am I doing with what I know that he has delivered to me, and what am I doing about what I know with him? This is not a parable to be fearful over. It's, to me, I like to look at the reward that comes from serving God faithfully. I don't want to think about what it means to not serve God faithfully and what happens. We do know that one man had been given 5 talents, another one had been given 2, and they both doubled their talents. There was only one servant there who decided not to do anything with his talent, but to bury it. And in doing so, when the Lord returned to reckon with his servants to do the talent search, so to speak, he found that 2 had been faithful and had been busy with what had been given, and he blessed them and told them to enter into the joy of our Lord. But the one who had buried his talent, and he didn't just throw him away without explanation. He let him know this talent had the ability to do something if you did something with it. You could have put it in the bank and it would have brought me interest, but instead you just took it and hid it and then thought I just gave it to you. I could have just left it in my bank or wherever if I wanted it to do this. I could have just left it in the drawer or wherever it was at and I would have still had the same thing. But I trusted my servant with this talent because I knew that it could produce. God has given us things that will produce in this life. And to me, this parable simply echoes what Jesus said as a 12-year-old boy, I must be about my Father's business. If there's ever been a day, when we read these parables, if we do compare them to the end of time, if that's what we equate these things as to, you know, of course, he was telling it to them then, and them not knowing when the end of time would be, and he was letting them know that you need to be doing something with what you have. Israel, even at that point, should have been doing something with what they had, because they had the prophets, and they had Moses, and they had God's word, but they were more busy about their traditions than they were about doing the things of God. I don't want that to be the case for the church today. I want the church to be the church that God called us to be. Not just our congregation, but the church as a whole. There's a lot of people in this world that need saving. There's a lot of people in this world that need the talent. Again, I'm not talking about your talent as far as like a talent show. I'm talking about the thing that God has entrusted us with, this gospel that God has entrusted us with, this faith that God has entrusted us with, that we might lay hands on the sick and see them recover, that we can cast out devils in His name. There are things that we can do through the name of the Lord. All things are possible to him that believeth. And for us to bury our talent and sit on our hands and just wait for what we know is going to happen. He's going to come back again. That's going to happen. Jesus is going to return one day, and he's going to reckon to every one of us according to our deeds, whether they were good or bad. He's going to, you know, the scripture says we're going to give an account for every idle word that we speak. You know, being ready for the coming of the Lord is not something to take lightly. But sometimes people get so focused on heaven, they forget they got some time to live on earth. And when the Lord was, whenever you read these parables, whenever he says for the kingdom of heaven, this parable is not for people that are unchurched. Because you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven or see the kingdom of heaven except you've been born again. He's got experience with his people. He knows I can give them a promised land and watch them destroy it. He knows I can call them out of Egypt and feed them with manna from heaven and watch them complain and grumble and build idols to worship in the wilderness. He said, I've watched them take what I've given them and ruin it. I know how my people act sometimes. And so he addresses people that have been entrusted with this life because he wants us to make the most of what he has given to us. And so when he says, for the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling a far country, that means everybody that's been born again, you need to perk up and listen, because he's telling us something that we need to make sure we're doing in this last time. This parable is not just about missing heaven. It deals with time here between the Lord leaving and coming back. This whole parable is about what happened between the time that he left them and he returned. What are we doing in the meantime? When I had the scripture in James, he said, for you know, not put, if you could put that James chapter 4 back up for just a second. You know not what will be on the morrow. Just leave that scripture up for a few moments. We don't know what tomorrow holds. That's why we got to be about the Father's business today. Sometimes we think tomorrow might be a better opportunity, but you don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know if we will be here tomorrow because we don't know the time of our departure. He said, because your life is just a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. And the church has a mandate to preach the gospel to every creature. I'll do that tomorrow, but you don't know what tomorrow holds. What will stop you tomorrow? What will be hindering you tomorrow? Because if you can't do it today, why would tomorrow be better? Huh? Yeah. So we need to make sure that we are not just equating these kind of parables to, hey, at the end of time, I'll do something at the end of time. The man with one talent, he thought, I'll just settle everything good when he gets back because I know the kind of man that he is. And that was what convicted him out of his own mouth. The Lord judged him. He said, if you knew the kind of man I was, you should have been doing something with what I gave you. And if we know the Lord, like we say, we know the Lord. He's our Savior. He's our friend. He's our help. He's our strong tower. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's the Lamb of God. If we know all these things about Him and we say we know all the things that He can do, and if we love to proclaim as Paul did, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, or God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, but it's according to the power that worketh in me. And if we know all these things beforehand and we're doing nothing with what God gave us, what will God say to us in that day? Because sometimes we think that that mercy is going to cancel out that, and His love for us is going to cancel out that, and that it'll just be okay. But love and mercy and sincerity, none of that excludes us from being obedient to truth. God's so merciful, it won't matter if I... That's that once saved, always saved nonsense. That God's love is so great that it won't matter if I'm obedient or not. I'll just be saved. But there's no Bible for that at all. And I read here that the Lord said, this is like what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is like a man that traveled into a far country, but before he went, he delivered things to his servants, and then he left them, and he expected them to be faithful in his absence. And while we are waiting for the coming of the Lord, not knowing the day or the hour, what are we doing with the things that God has entrusted to us? It's time that before He comes to take inventory, it's time for us to take some inventory. It's time for us to start examining ourselves. What am I doing with this call that God put on my life? What am I doing with this ability that God has given unto me? You know, and it could be anything. It could be teaching. It could be preaching. It could be singing or playing music. It could be just being a faithful saint in the house of God. It could be teaching Bible study. Whatever it is, that talent that God has delivered to you, what are we doing with it? We don't need to sit and stare at it and say, I'm trying to figure out the perfect thing that I need to do. Yeah, I tried to do that when I got engaged to my wife. I had bought the ring. I knew I was going to do it. I was trying to figure out the most clever way that I could do it. I'm going to freeze that ring in an ice cube, and I'm going to put it in her drink. And she's going to say, what's in my drink? I said, but then what if she swallows it or so? She wants to chew on the ice and bites into it and breaks her teeth. That won't work. I'm going to put it in a fortune cookie. We're going to go eat Chinese, and she's going to break it up. You know, I just thinking of all this stuff, and then one evening I just realized I want to marry this woman. And so we were sitting in her house, just a regular day of the week, just sitting there. And all of a sudden, I just looked at her. I said, I want to marry this woman. And I said, I got to go to my truck. I went out there, I got the ring, come in, sat down, said, hey, here you are. That's the short version of it. But that was how it was. She grabbed the ring, jumped up, screamed, ran to her sister to tell her about it. But I said, well, that's a yes, so we're good. But no, she said yes before she took off. But, but that's the way, why am I just sitting here staring? You know what you got to do. Just go do it. And God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. There are things that God has laid on us, and we need to be about the Father's business. You know, He said, I know this parable is like the kingdom of heaven. Think about the prayer when the disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Master, teach us how to pray. I want you to teach us how to pray. In Matthew 6, 9 and 10, the Lord said, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then he said, thy kingdom come, period. That's just one sentence. That's a statement. That's a declaration. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So what is being done in earth? Because these servants were either doing the will of their Father or not. Two were doing the will here in earth, one was not. This parable does not just deal with the end of time and eternal judgment. It deals with the here and now. What are we doing with what God has delivered to us in this day and hour? What are we doing while our life is still appearing? It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. What are we doing in this in-between time? We know that Jesus came. We know that he lived and that he died and rose from the dead. And we know that he ascended up into heaven. And the angels said, why are you just standing here looking up into heaven? Because before he left, he told them, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. But it was such an incredible thing. There he goes. And they had to be shook back into reality. Hey, why are you sitting here staring at the sky? This same Jesus that you watched go into heaven, he's going to come back in like manner. Go and do what he said. Go to Jerusalem and tarry. Go wait for that promise. Go wait for the power that's coming. Go and do something. Don't just be caught standing here. This is where he went up. I'm standing on the ground where I saw him go. Everybody comes by. You know what I'm doing? What are you looking at? This is where Jesus went up. Well, where is he now? Oh, he's out of sight now. Then why are you still standing here? How long are we just going to stand and stare as we watch a world go by, as we watch souls slip off into eternity, as we watch friends and loved ones that don't know God, and we've been given a word and a ministry of reconciliation, where we could have them reconciled back unto God, help them find their way to the kingdom and get into the kingdom of heaven. And I'll tell you what it is. It's the same thing that this one servant had. Fear. He said it out of his own mouth. He said, I know you gave me this, but I was afraid. So I went and buried it. And fear only produces certain negative actions. It's just like fear causes you to hide. It causes you to run. It causes you to quit. It'll cause you to bury what God has given you. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. We have nothing. The other two servants proved that there's nothing to fear from the gifts that God gives. They're only going to produce a blessing for the kingdom. They're only going to be good for you. If you use it, it shows you that it will only be good for you at the end. You're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. As we've quoted it here before, it's definitely not my saying. I've heard that Brother Tenney said it. I've heard Sister Mangan say it. But he will not say well done if I have not done well. And so I've got to be about my Father's business doing all that I know to do. Don't worry about what you don't know how to do. One man had five talents. It said the Lord gave him each one according to their abilities. He knew this man could take five talents and run with it. That doesn't make him any greater than the one that got two. Because the man that got two was an expert at two. And he was able to double that. And the one that had one, he didn't have to drop his head and say, well, I only got one measly talent. What could he have done with the one? If he'd have just doubled it, that would have been great. But instead of trying to do anything with it, he said, I'm going to sit on it. But don't ever think it's about comparison, because that's another thing that stops us a lot of times is comparison. Well, I only got one talent, they got five. They must be better than I am, so why should I do anything? They only asked me to do this, but they asked them to do that, so why should I do anything? If you and I would just simply do what God has given us to do, We're a body fitly joined together. We are workers together with him. Come on, somebody. You can't say, well, because I'm the ear and not the eye, I'm not part of the body. You're part of the body. Well, I'm a hand and not a foot, so I'm not part of the body. What kind of nonsense is that? I only have one talent. He had five, so we're you still working for the same master? The man with one talent wasn't working for another master. They still had the same master that had the ability to bless them and tell them, well done, and to help them enter in. But it's our own insecurity, and it's our own fear that we're not as good as somebody else because I only got one. You know what? Sometimes I'd rather have one. A lot easier to manage. And let me tell you, you know what's great about one? We serve one God. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. A lot of people want to throw off on one. One, to me, it ain't the loneliest number. It's the greatest number. Come on, somebody. I preach oneness. I preach one God. I preach one faith. I preach one baptism. Come on. I preach one way to heaven. I preach one door, one lamb, one God. Preach one. You know how you got born again? Because somebody preached one. They didn't preach five. Hope they didn't preach three. So take that one and do something powerful with it. Because that one might just get one more. It double. But that one might get five more. And that five might get 50 more. But guess where it started? With one. You can't get a dollar till you get 100 pennies. That's one at a time. Yeah? I'm telling you, we don't have to be ashamed of we don't need to think of this in numerical. Because the one with five and the one with two went to the same reward. Just like the man who worked 1 hour got the same reward as them that worked all day. It wasn't about how many hours they worked. It was about the man that had the power to reward them for their faithful service and for what they do. And so, man, I'm telling you, when you start comparing and you start examining, you start thinking it's about this is greater than that. Well, pastoring is greater than this, and evangelizing is greater than that, and singing is greater than this. It's all part of kingdom work. It's all part of it. And I can't sing, so I don't sing. I wish I could sing. I would love to sing. I would be awesome if I was a singer. When I worked for that band, they used to say, man, I wish you could sing. They said, because you'd be a great front man, because you're crazy. And I said, yeah, but I can't sing. And I can't play the guitar. And I can't play the drums. And so I'm going to sit back here and run the lights. But somebody had to run the lights, and somebody had to run the sound, and somebody had to set up the stage, and somebody had to do all that so they could do what they had to do. Well, in this kingdom business, somebody's going to praise, and somebody's going to worship. Somebody's going to play, and somebody's going to sing. Somebody's going to preach, somebody's going to pray. Somebody's going to run media, somebody's going to put words on the wall. Friend, everybody's doing something, and none of it... we don't need to look at it like, well, that's not as important as this or that. It's not about that. It's about everybody being faithful in the office that God has placed them in, because he could come back before the end of this service today. And I want him to say, you was faithful with what I gave you. I don't want to be caught. I fear God, but I don't want to ever be afraid. You know, when people are afraid, I used to hear people say, man, I'm so afraid of the Lord coming back. You know why they say that? They're not ready. I'm not afraid of the coming of the Lord. I'm not, because I believe with everything in me that when he comes back, I'm going. Because I've obeyed the scripture and I've done my best to live right. I believe, so I'm not afraid. I used to be afraid. I used to, with alcohol on my breath, before I would pass out in my bed, I'd say, Jesus, don't come back tonight. Because I knew I wasn't ready. And I knew, but the sad thing was, I knew he was coming back. And so I was afraid that I would wake up and he would have come. And I missed that. And I was like, ain't no hope after that. And so I did not want to miss it, but that's the way I lived my life until I came to him and I got things settled. I don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid that the trumpet's going to sound. You don't have to be afraid that something's going to happen and you're not ready. Be ready. These people say, well, man, I want to do all this and that before I tie myself down to church. Well, you're in trouble already if you think it's tying yourself down. Man, there ain't no greater freedom or liberty than living for God. I had a young man tell me one time when we started the church, he came at the other building, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. And man, I mean, God would just move powerful on that young man. And he said, I love all that. I feel I don't. He said, but I want to go out and I want to sow my wild oats. I want to do all this stuff. I'm young and I want to do all this stuff before I settle down in church. He ain't back in church yet. That's been almost 20 years. That ain't what you do. Why would you wait when you know that the scripture says you don't know the day and you don't know the hour? When your life is nothing more than a vapor and it only appears for a little while, this space of time we have is every day by the mercy of God. And if one day it's time for us to leave this world and draw that last breath, I don't want to be fading out thinking I didn't get it done. I know it's 10 o'clock. This is black coffee with no sugar right here. This is espresso. He's giving us the strong stuff. But I'm telling you that it matters. This is what we've got to have. This is definitely not the time to be playing around with our walk with God. There are wars and rumors of wars. There are signs and wonders happening in the heavens. There are earthquakes in divers places. There are floods and famines and pestilence, and there is a great falling away happening right before our eyes, and all these things are coming to pass just like Jesus said they would. Honey, this ain't time to lay back. His kingdom come, period. His will be done in earth. And this is where we are spending our time until he returns. The Lord gave these talents so his will could be accomplished while he is away. And that's what he gave to us, so that his will, the gospel, could be preached to every creature and that we could accomplish what he be finished. When he said it's finished, he finished his sacrifice here on earth. He said, it is finished. But he wasn't finished, because he is the head of the church and we're his body. And so we're still working now this plan of salvation that he instituted through his death, burial, and resurrection. We're preaching that so that people can be added daily to the church. That's what he wanted us to do. Why would he say the things I've done and greater things shall you do if it wasn't possible? But he said it. He attached that to, if I don't go away. See, just like this, the Lord went away and now servants get busy. And the Lord said, I'm going to go away. But when I go away, you're not going to be without me. Now I'll be living on the inside of you. And the things that I've done, you will do, and greater things shall you do, because I go to my Father. Because I go, but I will come again. I'll come again. And so get busy about my business. He didn't give us that talent so we could bury it and waste it while we're waiting. Let's start working. Jesus said it would be like it was in the days of Noah. And we always say, well, that means it's going to be wicked because it was wicked. It's going to be awful because it was awful. But when you look at every part of the story of Noah, if it's going to be like the days of Noah, you have to not just look at the wicked people, look at the one who was doing it right. He was delivered plans for a life, soul saving, because it says eight souls were saved, a soul saving ark. He was given the plans, and then God hushed his mouth. And for about 75 years, it never records that God spoke to Noah again, but Noah was cutting and sawing and building and preaching and just doing everything he could to make sure that the ark was finished because he knew the rain was going to come. He knew that the flood was going to come. And he didn't know how it was going to come, and he didn't know the exact time it was going to come. But he just knew, I've got to have the boat ready. I've got to get ready so I can't take a day off. I can't slack in this. I've got to work. The scripture even says, Jesus said, I must work in the day because the night's coming when nobody can work. And so there will come a time. Now, he's the light of the world as long as he's in the world. And so while he's here, while we've got his word, we've got light. But friend, one day he's going to call this church out of here. And one day it's going to get dark and no man's going to be able to work. Friend, that's a scary thing. But we've got time. And so we can work and we can work and we can work. And we will be ready when he comes. Because that's it. Who then is that faithful servant that his master will find him doing when he comes? You know, that's it. He said, I've just got, well, I didn't finish this, I didn't finish that. If you had done everything that God asked you to do, you're finished. Your idea, your plans are not the same as his. I'm sure that Paul could have started a lot more churches, a lot more things if he'd had more time, but he knew the time of my departure is here. I have finished my course, fought a good fight, and I have kept the faith. I've done everything that I could possibly do with the time that God gave me on this earth with this gospel. And that's what he wants from us. Don't waste it because you think, oh, I got time. I'm young. I got time. You know what? I'm fixing to be 59, but I'm still young. I'm young in my mind. I'm young in my heart. I'm not young in my knees, in my hips anymore. But everywhere else, I'm young. And I wish that I could still jump like I used to jump. And I wish I could still run like I used to run. I wish I could do those things. But I tell you, I can still preach. And I can still pray. And I can still pastor and do the things I'm supposed to do. And so I'm not going to lay back just because, well, I put in, man, I've been preaching since 1994. That's a long time. I think I could retire right now. Brother Ebhart used to say, how do you retire from this? He pastored almost 48 years, and he said, how do you retire? Somebody kept asking him. They kept saying, when are you going to retire? And he said, how do you retire from this? You don't quit this. This is the calling. I want to be doing this when it's time for me to go. That was the way he lived it, and that's the way I feel about it, is that I'm just going to do it until I can't do it anymore or until he calls me out of here. And so God has given us great things, things that will multiply, things that will grow, things that have the ability to change life. One place, you know, it talks about sowing seed and that we've been given seed because some plant, what do you plant? You plant seed. Some plant, some water, God gives the increase. But there's also another question about that seed. Is it yet in the barn? Haggai would ask that question, I believe it was Haggai that would ask that question. It said, is the seed, is that life-giving seed, is that seed that produces crops, that produces food, that produces your income, that takes care of your family? I'm just talking in natural senses right now, but he said, what good is it if it's in the barn? It can't do anything if it's in the barn. But if you will plant it and if you will water it, God will give the increase. Come on, somebody. I want to do something with what God gave me, because having a talent and using a talent's not the same. Having a gifting and using a gifting, not the same. You can have it and do nothing with it. You can have an anointing on your life and never use it. Is the seed yet in the barn? It has been given, but are we gaining? The man with five said, I gained other five. The man with two said, I gained other two. Only the man who buried could never say anything about gain. He just said, it's just like it was. Just like it was when you gave it to me. Lord, help me not to give it back to God the way he gave it to me. I hope it's bandaged up, wearing a cast, with a back brace when I give it to him. I hope he says, what happened to the paint and the fenders, man? I'll say, When you gave it to me, I drove it like I stole it. I just put my foot on it and didn't stop. Took the brake pedal out. I said, we're just going to hit it until we come to the end. I want to wear myself out for him. Because he gave himself out for me. Come on, somebody. That's what God did for us. He gave everything for me. I want to give it all to him because God is coming back one day and I want to be ready and I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. How about you? Come on. Aren't you thankful for the gifting of God? 2 Peter, he said this, it's verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Boy, that word. We have obtained, that means we have a responsibility. Because that same word obtained is used in the book of Acts when he was referring to Judas, who had obtained part of this ministry. And look where Judas ended up. We have a responsibility. Obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Gain, multiplication, gain. Through the knowledge of God and our Lord, Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Godliness and life. Life and godliness go together. And he gave us the things. We can't say, I can't live godly. Yeah, because he gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be a partaker of the divine nature, because you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is that intense desire to have something that you cannot have. Lusting after it. But he said, you don't have to lust because I've given it to you. I've given you the measure of faith. I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. My peace I give unto you. Let me tell you, just start looking through the scripture and see the things I give you. If you would just ask, I will give you this water of life. Just give, give, give. For God so loved the world that he gave. Always giving. Always loving us and always giving us. And he has given us. And as the church, as the born again church of God, we have obtained these things. We've obtained this faith. And if we obtained faith, we must have works. Or that faith, it says, is dead. Faith without works is dead. So I want to make sure that all things that pertain to life, they've been given exceeding great and precious promises. They've been given. I want to make sure I'm doing something with what has been given. I know we like to say that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it is according to the power that worketh in us. And I can do all things through Christ is only effective if we do. That verse means nothing if we don't do. I heard Brother Arnold say unpracticed truth is no better than false doctrine because it produces the same thing, nothing. If not, if we don't do it, then it becomes the banner of unrealized hopes, dreams, and desires. The power is given already, and so it's time to stop waiting, it's time to stop wasting, and it's time that we start working with what God has given us. Come on, somebody, we're the church of the living God. Yeah. Acts 1 and 8, I'll remind you of this. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The power to be a powerful witness comes when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's enough for the world and it's enough for us. The word was given to us and it will not return void. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." So Paul right here already says, I'm not a good speaker. I'm not even that smart in myself, but I still came and declared to you the testimony of God because I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. When we have that Holy Ghost, it doesn't have to be about our wisdom, our degree, that knowledge of that. It simply needs to be about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the gospel. And when you can just bring the gospel to people, friend, let me tell you, the Spirit will make a demonstration. If there's anything those tent revivals, I know Brother Dusty's been to some of them, some of y'all have been to these things. That's teaching me anything is that if you'll get up and preach the gospel, people will get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. God will demonstrate His power and He'll heal the sick and He'll set the captives free because they're not there teaching on the red dragon in Revelation and they're not there talking about all these deep things, stuff that with end times, they're simply telling people, Jesus came and He lived and He died on that cross. They put Him in the grave. He rose from the grave. And you can do the same through obedience to Acts 2:38. You can be baptized in His name. Your sins can be washed away. Your past can be buried and you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And people are praying through the Holy Ghost by the thousands. And people are being baptized by the thousands. And it's still happening simply because somebody said, I'm going to take, they call it the Jesus tent revival. Nothing. Oh, well, that's not very catchy. It's the name above every name. I thought they would have called it, some kind of, it's a tent, so maybe you can bring some kind of circus name into it or something, make it real catchy. What is better than the name of Jesus? It's the name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. It's the name that has all power in heaven and earth. It's the name that saved us. It's the name that we can't wait to say out loud when we see Him. So you don't need nothing. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus. Rise and walk. There's still power in the name of Jesus. You can come on to the music, darling. I'm not finished, but I'll be done. I'll tell you this. There's not going to be another Pentecost. It's already happened. So the clock's already ticking. We're not waiting on Pentecost 2.0. There was going to be one. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that means there don't need to be another one. Everything that needed to happen for the church and happen for the world happened at that Pentecost. And that's why we preach it. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I cannot express how important just that simple message is for you to share with the people that you love. You say, I'm that certain of it. I'm never going to be mean about it. I'm never going to fight anybody about it. But I'm telling you today, you ain't going in without that baptism in Jesus' name. Because that is being born of water. And that is part of the new birth that we must have to enter into and to see the kingdom of God. And so if you know someone that hasn't been baptized in Jesus' name, today should be the day. Tell them about it. Let's stand together. Praise God. Let's just lift our hands and pray for a moment together. God, we love you so much. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you have given us. And we we're thankful for whatever time that we have left here on this earth. But I pray, God, that as we stay here, with every breath we draw, we'll keep our hand to the plow and we won't look back. I pray, Lord, that we'll be about your business. Lord, that we'll be worried about gaining with these things that you have given us and not burying what you've given us. Let us be a light, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Let us let our light so shine that men might see our good works and give you all the glory. Praise God. Let us be the church that you called us to be, Lord. For we know not the day or the hour, but as you told us, watch. Watch, be ready. God, let our hearts be ready today. We ask these things today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Would you clap your hands real good to the Lord? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.